It was a relief when Neil and Zack stepped out of the honey house carrying Our Lady. It got my mind off the Trailways bus. They carried her under their arms like a tube of carpet, with the chain slapping back and forth against her body. You'd think they would use the wagon again, something a little more dignified than this. And if that wasn't bad enough, when they set her down, they deposited her in the middle of an ant hill, which started an ant stampede. We had to jump around, shaking them off our feet. Sugar Girl's wig, which for some reason she insisted on calling a wig hat, had slid down toward her eyebrows from the jumping around, so we had to have time out for her to go inside and adjust it. Otis yelled after her, "I told you not to wear that thing. It's too hot for a wig. It's sliding around on your head from the perspiration." "If I want to wear my wig hat, I'm going to wear it," she said over her shoulder. "Don't we know it?" he snapped back, looking at us like we were all on his side, when really we were backing Sugar Girl 100%. Not because we liked her wig. It was the worst looking thing you ever saw. We just didn't like Otis giving her orders. When all that finally settled down, August said, "Well, here we are, and here's Our Lady." I looked her over, proud of how clean she was. August read Mary's words from the Bible. "For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." "Blessed Mary," Violet interrupted. "Blessed, blessed Mary." She stared at the sky, and we all looked up, wondering if she'd caught a glimpse of Mary climbing through the clouds. "Blessed Mary," she said one more time. "Today, we're celebrating the Assumption of Mary," August said. "We're celebrating how she woke from a sleep and rose into heaven. And we're here to remember the story of Our Lady of Chains, to remind ourselves that those chains could never keep her down. Our Lady broke free of them every time." August grabbed hold of the chain around Black Mary and unwrapped a loop before handing it off to Sugar Girl, who unwrapped it a little further. Every one of us got to join in taking off a loop of chain. What I remember is the clinking noise it made as it uncoiled in a pile at Mary's feet, the sound seeming to pick up where Violet left off. Blessed, 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 blessed. "Mary is rising," said August, her voice concentrated into a whisper. "She is rising to her heights." The daughters lifted their arms. Even Otis had his arms shot straight up in the air. "Our Mother Mary will not be cast down and bound up," said August, "and neither will her daughters. We will rise, daughters. We will rise." June sliced her bow across the cello strings. I wanted to lift my arms with the rest of them, to hear a voice coming to me out of the sky saying, "You will rise," to feel that it was possible. But they hung limp by my sides. Inside, I felt small and contemptible, abandoned. Every time I closed my eyes, I still saw the Trailways bus. The daughters stayed with their arms reaching into the air, giving off the feeling they were rising with Mary. Then August picked up a jar of Black Madonna honey from behind June's chair, and what she did with it brought everybody back to earth. She opened the lid and turned it upside down over Our Lady's head. Honey oozed down Mary's face, across her shoulders, sliding down the folds of her dress. A wedge of honeycomb stuck in the crook of Our Lady's elbow. I looked at Rosaline as if to say, "Well, great, we spent all that time cleaning honey off her, and here they go, putting it back on." I decided nothing these women did would ever surprise me again. But that lasted about 1 second, because next the daughters swarmed around Our Lady like a circle of bee attendants and rubbed the honey into the wood, working it into the top of her head, into her cheeks, her neck and shoulders and arms, across her breasts, her belly. "Come on, Lillian, help us," said Mabel Lee. Rosaline had already dived in and was coating honey all over Our Lady's thighs. I hung back, but Cressy took my hands and dragged me over to Mary, slapped them down in the muck of sun-warmed honey, right on top of Our Lady's red heart. I remembered how I'd visited Our Lady in the middle of the night, how I'd placed my hand on that same spot. "You are my mother," I'd told her then. "You are the mother of thousands." "I don't get why we're doing this," I said. "We always bathe her in honey," said Cressy, "every year." "But how come?" "August was working the honey into Our Lady's face. The churches used to bathe their special statues in holy water as a way to honor them," she said. "Especially statues of Our Lady. Sometimes they bathed her in wine. We settled on honey."